Interesting observation on the parsha very quickly. The parsha puts together two parshias juxtaposed next to each other, the parsha of Saita and the parsha of Matnas Kahuna. And Rashi says, what's the message? Rashi says, because if a person doesn't give his Matnas Kahuna, he's going to have to come to the Kohen for his wife who's a Saita. So you read that Rashi, it makes absolutely no sense. Because the guy doesn't give his money to the Kohen that leads his wife to a path that she becomes a Saita. How does one lead to the other? So there's two very cute terutzim. They're true. The Kliyakar on the page of the Chumash writes, because the Gemara says if a person doesn't give his money to the Matnas Kahuna, he loses his money. So says the Kliyakar like this. The husband comes home at the end of the day. His wife says, where's the money? He says, I don't have any money. Why? Because he didn't give Matnas Kahuna. The wife says, I know where the money went. He went to the Zayin. That's where all the money is. So she says, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. If you can fool around, I can fool around. That's the Kliyakar's pshat on the pasuk. I chose not to say it from the pulpit of my shul this Shabbos. I think it was the right decision. Especially we had an offer from the shul. It was a better idea not to go that route. But I said, like the Kliyakar writes it on the page. Right. He says that on the page, that's pshat. The Ksav Sofer has a little bit more of a calmer pshat. This I did say over. I felt it was a little safer. Ksav Sofer says, Tamaz, if you ever think about it, why would anyone put their wife through the Saita process? Unless the guy loves the thrills, but just give her a get and send her on her way. If you really think your wife had an affair, so why go through the process? Says the Ksav Sofer, because the guy has no money and he'd have to pay a ksuba. Because right now she didn't do any crime. She's not guilty. She didn't lose a ksuba. So the guy is so poor, he can't afford a ksuba, so he has to go through this whole spiel. That's the Ksav Sofer's spiel. Okay, very nice. No, but no one's really attacking the issue over here. That part was just for fun. This pshat, I think, is pshat. That's relevant to the offer. So this, I think, is a real pshat. Because neither of these two pshatim actually explain her behavior. Right? I think you have to tackle what in this marriage led this girl, this woman, to look for something outside the marriage. The answer is because this man is A, self-absorbed. I mean, why don't you want to give the money to the kuna? Because your attitude is, why should I give to him? What does he deserve my money for? And secondly, more than that, it's his job to work for me. Why should I have to give him anything? When you have an attitude of, it's your job, I don't deserve to thank you, that spills over into a marriage, right? Because in marriages, there are roles. Again, every marriage is different. Some wives do the cooking, some husbands do the cooking, some work, whatever the roles are, there's an assumed that, oh, it's your job, so I don't have to say thank you. When a person doesn't feel that they're appreciated in the roles that they're supposed to do, that leads people astray. That's how we connected it to the offer. But the point is, I think it's a very important insight, is that even those people in our lives that have a job, that's their job, the security guard, the garbage man, that's their job. There's no question. We're not denying it. But it's still nice to hear that they're appreciated. It's still nice to hear a thank you. Then I told the Olam over, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, famous Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, at his wife's levaya, he got up and said that, normally the practice is that a person's, they say, I have to ask Mechila. He says, I don't have to ask my wife Mechila for anything. I know I did nothing wrong to her in our life together. So I said over, I said, we can read that story, but none of us can even imagine what that means. They're married for many years. To say that you never did anything wrong that you have to ask Mechila for is truly unbelievable. And then I finished off with a push for a book that I think everyone should get, the David Feinstein book. It's a great book. It's a really, really good book because David Feinstein lived in our generation. He lived here. Many of you may have even met him, seen him, talked to him. And it's such a real book for people that are living in this time. So he talks about his relationship with his wife. He was very, very close with her. He had a very beautiful shalom bayis with his wife. So they say over a story where he was going, it was at a chasana, and he went over to the dessert table and was like putting little cookies in a napkin. So some big rich guy comes over to him and says, oh, I see the Rashiva likes these cookies. I'll send a truckload to his house. So then David smiles. He walks to the lady section and he hands it to his Rebbetzin. She liked these cookies. So he took them for her to give it to her in the lady section because she liked these cookies. He was very, very close. He had spent a lot of time working on his Shalom Bayis. It was something very special. But I think that's really the lesson in life. The Torah is reminding us that even those people that it's, so to say, their job, they like to get recognition also. And if they don't feel recognized, they don't feel appreciated, then they're going to astray and not do what they're supposed to do. Okay. So we left off last week. We came across a very, very important Gemara. If you look at it, says Shir Chafei on the top. So there's a Gemara in Kedusha number one. Let's just go back to this Gemara. Actually, before we come back to this Gemara, we were talking about a different child. We'll come back to that. We mentioned the child from the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch had a child. If a guy has a son, there are two pages. Yeah, there should be two pages. If a person has a son who's a Tum Tum or an Adroginus, right? He has a child that's a Suffolk. So the question is, do you have a chief to teach this baby Torah? So on one hand, Suffolk derais l'chomer, maybe this baby is a boy and you have a mitzvah to teach your son Torah. Or maybe the baby's a girl and you don't have to teach your son Torah. So the Menachas Chinuch came up with the middle ground. He said, you have to teach the child Torah misafik, but, says the Menachas Chinuch, you don't have to pay for it. Why? Because how can I make you pay? Maybe this child is really a girl. If the child is a girl, you don't have to spend money on your daughter's tuition. You don't have to teach your daughter at all. So the Menachas Chinuch said, misafik, I don't have to make you pay. So we mentioned the kasha Rav Moshe Finkel, Gedalia Finkel's son, number nine, he said, Tzarechin, that's what we're up to now. He said, Tzarechin, Kavonos, Hare Achiv Lohoitzi Mom and Ainin Machmas Atzvia Shel HaBen. Why do you have to pay money for you? It's not because your son comes to you and says, Dad, I'm demanding you pay money for me to go to yeshiva. I'm demanding a tviya. The son is not tviya the money out of the father. Elohu kuchom mitzvah shebeshvili kima tzarechlaitzi kesef. It's not like there's a guy asking you for money. It's shot is that you have a mitzvah to teach your son Torah. If the standard process of teaching Torah today requires paying money, so now you have to pay money. That's part of the mitzvah. Therefore, v'imkein hu adinacha. Same thing also. What do you mean a mitzvah velvarai? You can't say mitzvah velvarai over here because the mitzvah requires you to spend money. So if the mitzvah requires you to spend money and you have to do the mitzvah, so then you got to spend money. So therefore, he doesn't understand why the Mechaz Chinuch thinks you don't have to spend money. So we wanted to suggest perhaps to answer this shayla with source number 10. What's number 10? A chakira. What's the chakira? Number 10, the Yesh Ayin. Chiyav Nesina Schar L'Malamed Ez Ben Eter. We learned in the Gemara, the Rambam has this chiddush. It's not before it's in the Gemara, but the Rambam says you have to spend money to send your son to yeshiva. You don't have to spend money to send the neighbor's kid to yeshiva. Your grandson is a machoikis, but your son, you have to spend money. Shayla is why? Why is it such a given that I have to spend money to send my son to yeshiva? So there are two ways to look at it. Im nemar, shachivu kumay kol hoitzos momen al mitzvah zesei shebeteir. Because it's like any mitzvah you have to spend money for. You have to spend money to buy a lulav, you have to spend money to buy a sukkah, you have to spend money to buy matzah. Every mitzvah that you have to do costs money. V'hashir bought l'nesina se atzlish kumbo b'sechaz babakama. Hid the mitzvah atzlish. But there'd be a limit. Every mitzvah, you don't have to go bankrupt to do a mitzvah. A positive mitzvah. You have to go bankrupt not to violate a loisase. You don't have to go bankrupt to do a mitzvah. If a person doesn't have enough money, we had the sugya when we did Pidyon HaBen, right? We learned. The Gemara said, if you don't have enough money for Pidyon HaBen, you don't do Pidyon HaBen. So we had a kasha on the Gemara, a chazinish, a whole shtukot Torah. Why don't you say, right? We talked about this kasha with Chaim Brisker. Why don't you say, I'll borrow a lot of money from someone and I won't be able to pay back. And I'll claim to him, it's a mitzvah to pay back a chayv. I don't have to go. I only have to spend up to a third of my money to do a mitzvah. Great chap. Guys will borrow millions of dollars. And the guy comes and says, pay me back. So listen, paying back is only a mitzvah. I only have to do a mitzvah up to a certain amount, so I don't have to pay you back. So we said, and we saw this in the Chazanish already, no, that's only if the mitzvah doesn't require payment. Right? Let's say, for example, sukkah. The mitzvah to buy a sukkah, the mitzvah to send a sukkah doesn't require payment. Sometimes you might have to buy a sukkah, but the mitzvah of paying back a chayiv is structured as a payment. The mitzvah of pidyon HaBen is structured as a payment type of chayiv. So the question over here is, how do you look at the mitzvah of sending your son, teaching your son Torah? Do you say that, no, I've added the mitzvah to teach your son Torah? If you can't do it for free, then you have to spend money like any mitzvah. But like any mitzvah, there's limits. Just like I don't have to blow all my money to buy a sukkah. I don't have to use up all my money to buy a lulav. I wouldn't have to use up all my money to send my kid to yeshiva. That's one side of the chakira. Or maybe what's the other side? Shechiv, it's mama lamas ben eteru, who may ikka mitzvah tamater. Maybe not. Maybe this is like similar to Pidyon HaBen. That the way the Torah structured the mitzvah wasn't just you have to teach your son Torah, and if you can't do it for free, you have to pay money. The Torah said you have to spend money to teach your son Torah. That was part and parcel of the mitzvah. What? Right. So that's why we didn't, when we were learning the sugya, we never assumed like this. Tzad. We never assumed that the mitzvah is to spend money. First of all, what does it say in the Chumash? It says in the Chumash, teach them. It doesn't say how to do it. So if you could do it for free, good. So do it for free. Why do you just, meaning it's not like Pidyon HaBen where the Torah says spend the money. It's not like Priyas Chayv where the mitzvah is to pay it back. So that's what we never assume like the second side. But this second side wants to say that it's part and parcel. Again, it's a tzarechin. Where do you see that in the Chumash? In the Gemara, anywhere. But that's part of the mitzvah. Where does it say it's part of the mitzvah? Haraya, because for many generations, there was no charging for Torah. Torah used to be free. Now you charge for it. Right. If a guy, you know, right. So he writes over here, Sharei, doesn't explain. He says, Sharei, Av chai bezer, v'amalami teiru hu shluchoi. Be chiddish. We spoke about this many times. When you send your kid to yeshiva and you hire a rebbe, so is the pshat that really you have to teach your son Torah, but the rebbe is a shliach? Or no? You don't have to teach your son Torah. You have to make sure your son learns Torah. So either you do it, the shliach does it. You don't need shlichus for this. He's making it sound like that the mitzvah of Torah is you have to teach your son Torah. Now, if you can't do it, so you have to outsource. You have to outsource to a shliach, you have to outsource to someone else. But he's learning that's like a mitzvah shebegufa. You have to do it. We never assume like that. We always assume that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is make sure your son learns Torah, send to yeshiva, however it's going to be. So now, if you accept this chakira, so then he wants to say, he thinks that it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of teaching his son Torah. So then he says, then it's like there's no cutoff. Then you got to spend all your money to teach your son how to learn Torah. Now, if you assume like this second side of Chakira, it would answer up the Menachas Chinuch. Why? He says. Correct.
There's no passive
motion anyway. Right. There's no talk of money. It says teach us on Torah. That's right.
There's no
passing So that's the question.
In other words, no way does it say your son has to learn Torah.
Correct. Right. So then you're arguing that it's a mitzvah shebe gufo and you have to come out to shlech. Maybe.
No,
because it doesn't say anything about the money. Again.
Well, we also said that if you can't teach and the father passes away, the chiyuv is on the child.
Yeah,
right?
But that calls on the father's
alive. He still has to learn.
Right. The argument is while the father's alive, is it a mitzvah shebe gufo? It's a good question. So he wants to tell us this number. He says, Venire. So he wants to tell you this. If you assume the second side of the Chakira, which we're struggling with over here, we don't really understand it so well, that part and parcel of the Chi of Talmud Torah is to spend money. So then, so the money is not because, well, every mitzvah I have to spend money on. No. This is like in the category of Priyas Bal Choyv. It's like in the category of Pidyon HaBen. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah. And that's part of the moment that you spend on the mitzvah. Interesting. He says if that would be the case, so it would be a suffix, you'd have to go to chumra, you'd have to pay the tuition. Again, if paying money is part of the mitzvah, so then avad, when you have a suffix in the mitzvah and you have to go to chumra, you have to go with the money also, because that's part of the mitzvah. If you accept this notion, which I'm not saying is a simple pill to swallow, I myself don't accept it, but if you're willing to say that the mitzvah requires you to spend money, that you don't say amoytz mechavel avaray on that money, because Safik Darais al Chumr says that you have to do the mitzvah of teaching of some Torah. So how does that mitzvah look? That mitzvah looks like paying a tuition bill, because he holds that's part of the mitzvah. That's the hard part. He wants to tie to this Rambam that we learned, where the Rambam says is a chiyuv to spend money on your son's Torah, is not because every mitzvah in the Torah that if you can't do it, you have to spend money. It's a chiddush in the mitzvah of teaching Torah. Correct. Now it doesn't say that anywhere. We didn't come across that. But the mile of saying it that way is, it would explain this Menachas Chana. Why? Because if you accept the notion that the paying of the tuition is not just, I have to pay because I can't find something to do for you. No, that's part of the mitzvah. So when you have a suffix in that, you don't say suffix momen lahakel, you say suffix derais l'chomer, because the whole mitzvah requires me to spend money.
And if you don't have the money or you didn't spend the money, then so what?
That would be a bitul mitzvah. Right. This would be a bitul mitzvah, sase.
Yeah.
Good. So again, so if you could do it any right, so that's the problem we keep on having over here. He's wrapped up in the notion that the only way to fulfill the mitzvah is by spending money. That's if you need to spend money. If there's a way to teach them for free, then of course I wouldn't have to spend the money. He's saying, but when you do have to spend money and the tuition board comes to you and says, this child, he, she, slash, you got to pay tuition. The father says, no, I don't have to pay tuition for it. You should probably, the won't be happy with that.
Yay yourself.
Whatever they call the thing today, right? The father says, no, I don't have to pay tuition. Prove to me that this child is a boy. So we say to them, no, we don't have to prove anything to you. Being that you have a chiyuv to teach this child Torah, and part of that mitzvah requires you to spend money, you have to spend money.
So that's the lamas. It's not plan B. Like, money is not the plan B.
Right, but money's not plan B. Money is plan A. Money is the way you do this mitzvah. So if money, again, we're talking about a situation where you have to spend money. Obviously, if you send your kid to a free school, it won't be in a discussion. But Kozman, we're demanding tuition. The father can't say, no, I don't have to pay tuition, because it proves to me that this child is a boy. That's his argument. Yeah, that's true. I think there's a lot of people who want refunds for a lot of their kids to wish to tell you how much. It's a good point. Yeah. And you did your mitzvah. Now that kid, it's an interesting thing. Your father's mitzvah is irrelevant to the child's mitzvah. Wow, the father's mitzvah is like Ramosha writes in Dibra's Moshe. The father's mitzvah is to get the kid started. Now the kid has to continue on the path after we get him started with thousands of dollars of tuition dollars.
That,
yeah. Yeah, your mitzvah, the way Ramosha sounded like in Dibra's Moshe, your mitzvah is to give him, and we saw this already in the Rishonim, is to give him a strong background in Judaism.
You
did. It's a funny mitzvah because it's Tola B'Yarach. You need someone else, the kid has to listen. So if the father did everything he could, he taught him well, and that's it.
He did everything.
I would assume he was Mekayim his mitzvah. I would assume.
Is there a specific lesson that would find the Torah for those mitzvahs to require and not lend money?
When the Torah describes the mitzvah, it usually will say, like by Pidyon HaBen, the Torah says, you got to give 5-1 to the Kohen. Priyas b'chayv, it doesn't say it beforeish in the Torah, but Priyas b'chayv mitzvah by definition means you're spending money. But then you have a whole group of mitzvahs where you don't have to spend money. You can get a free sukkah, you can get a free lulav. But if you don't, then you have to spend money.
So the according to this, for a din that's an asay, you don't have to spend more than a shlish.
Right.
Right. So over here, if the tuition is more than a shlish.
So you shouldn't have to pay. Right. So that should be an afkamin in this chakira. If you learn that the reason why you have to pay tuition is because that's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then there's no limit. The tuition board can go crazy. crazier than they've already been, right? Tuition would be $50,000 and you got to pay it. Because that's your mitzvah Talmud Torah, unless you decide to homeschool your kid, which I wouldn't suggest. But if you go at the other side of the chakira, that this is not a part of the mitzvah. This is like any other mitzvah in the Torah. It's like buying tefillin. It's like buying a lulav. If the market price gets too high, then you don't have to pay. So, that'd be enough for me, right?
That's
good enough
for
me.
So that Moshe, that if you don't, you have to teach your kid enough so he'll answer, he'll ask more. So here, if you don't teach the kid, he's going to be not over the assay, he's over the los assay. So the assay is going to have a limit. Uh-huh. Los assay is going to have a limit. So then
again, I think they're going to use the other Moshe that says if you don't send your kids to yeshiva, they're not going to stay for him. So then they go that route. So they can charge you anything for that. The wishing board wins either way. Like Vegas, they win either way. So usually the Gemara sounds like a chaymish. He throws in over his shlish. Shlish is usually for a hidden mitzvah. Usually for hidden mitzvah shlish. I don't know why he throws in shlish. It should really be a chaymish. The Gemara says, "Ayivaz viz yoyse mi chaymish." You're not allowed to spend more than a chaymish. Okay. So I thought this chakira is interesting because with this chakira, this chakira would explain the minchas chana. Okay. I want to go back. This was really supposed to be covered last week. I want to go back to the Gemara number one, Kedushin Daf Lam. Says the Gemara. Tanya b'shafr m'shub b'shub b'shub b'chani l'may d'chzib. What's on the pasuk? V'shinantem. Says in the pasuk, v'shinantem l'vanecha. Al tikir v'shinantem ela v'shilashtem. You should make it into thirds. L'oilam yishalish odom shnoisa. A person should always divide into three his life. Shlish b'mikro, a third of his life, he should devote to Chumash. Shlish b'mishna, a third of his life to Mishnah. Shlish b'talmud, a third of his life should go to Gemara. So poshup shat in the Gemara, it means a guy maps out his life. He figures he's going to live X amount of years. Let's say he figures he's going to live, I don't know, 75 years. So the first third of his life, he only learns Chumash. Doesn't open a Gemara, doesn't crack open a Mishnah. Just learns Chumash all day long. Second third of his life, he only learned that. And the last third of his life, he only learns Gemara. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Frak the Gemara, miyadeh kamachaya. Does anyone know how long they're going to live? It's a risky move. What happens if a guy spends his whole life learning Chumash and then he dies? He never gets to the Mishnah, he never gets to the Talmud. So it doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara, leitzricha liyoymi. No, what we mean is liyoymi. So now how would you learn? Before you see the Rishayim, how would you learn those words like Tzricha Liyemi? Liyemi means for the day.
Yeah, every day you split up into thirds.
So you can learn each day you split into a third. Huh. Take a look in Rashi. Number two is like Rashi. Liyemi, Yimei HaShavua, the days of the week. So it sounds like from Rashi that you don't divide each day, but you divide a week. You take a week. Now the problem is a week is 7 days.
One day Yichazer.
Yeah, you'll get to that. Right? One day Yichazer, right? It's not a perfect divisible by three. But it sounds like from Rashi that he learned Yimei HaShavua means you chop up the week. Now, it's still funny that Rashi learned that because the Gemara says Liyemi. So everyone here on the table said Liyemi means a day. Rashi learned Liyemi probably means the days of the week. Not a day, but the days of the week.
Gemara says
the Shvuyah. Right, Gemara says the Shvuyah, right?
It doesn't have to be the week.
Correct. We'll get to that also, how you distribute the week. But according to Rashi, and Tosfos is going to elaborate on this also, you don't take a day and split into three. You take a week and you split it into three. Fine. Yeah, so Tosfos likes that even better. But we'll come back to that in a second. So now jump with me to number 11 on the left side from the Rimulunil. Now the question is, this is something we're going to really see as Machlokes Rishonim. What is the purpose of this whole procedure over here? Split your days three. Why? Favos. So what would most of us assume the pshat would be? Is to get exposure to all three parts of Torah. You have a lot of people who only know one topic, they only know one area, they never learned other parts of the Torah. So the Gemara is giving you an eight to Torah. The Gemara is saying, if you want to live a full life of Torah, you got to touch a little bit of everything. So you got to spend a little bit doing this, a little bit doing that. And by doing that, you'll get to cover everything. It's almost like a Daf Yomi map, plan for life. That's what it seems like. Okay, the Lashon of the Gemara is lo'olam. You're really supposed to do it. It sounds like a chiyuv. Not stam an eight to Torah, good advice. It's learned from a pasuk. Atikri v'shil nantem, ela v'shil lashtem, that a Jew Pashtus has an obligation to devote his time equally, we'll debate that equally later, into three sections of Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. So Rashi learns, he split the week. So look in the Riyu Mulanil, number 11, he writes in number 11, Kidei Shiye Rogil B'Shloisha. What does the word Rogil mean?
Custom.
It should be a custom. So you can learn, Kepshuta, I think that's what he means, is that you should be familiar with all three topics. So the purpose of this is not just to dabble in each three, but to be familiar, to be holding, as we'd say, holding in all topics. You got to spend enough time learning Chumash and Mishnah and Gemara that you're holding in all topics. That's what the B'yayis of Melanil seems to say.
So this is out to your Diyas HaTorah, not out to Limud HaTorah?
So it sounds like it's a Din in your Diyas HaTorah, right? It's a Din in your Diyas HaTorah. Oh, we're going to get to that. That's going to be the topic of today's shir. No, that's today's shir. We're going to come to a shach where the shach gives a whole Musash music against the Tafiyam. We'll get to it. We'll get to it hopefully if there's time. But this Rabbi Yonasan Malinil to me sounds like, again, someone wanted to type to me, Ruggle doesn't mean, Ruggle means familiar. I mean, I know. Like, I'm not holding in every siman in Shulchan Aruch, but if a guy would throw out something to me, I'm custom, I'm familiar, it's not foreign to me. Not that I'm holding mamish in every single halacha, but the pashtus Ruggle means you're familiar with it. It's something that you're comfortable in, something that you know. So they have the Q kasha number 12, that according to Rashi, what do you do? Your days are off. Right? According to Rashi, you have 6 days, divided into three, you have one extra day. So he writes over here, so Shnei Yomim Mikro, Shnei Yomim Mishnah, Omdom, Loi Pirish, Mayase, B'Shabbos. What do you do with Shabbos? B'ula Yeshalom, B'de B'Shabbos, Yachzer, Ma'ashalom, B'meshach, Kol Yimesh. Shabbos Yichazer. Some people don't learn on Shabbos, fine. Shabbos, they eat Shalom. Okay, fine. That's a key. They don't learn on Shabbos. But he says, no, Shabbos is Chazar. He says, we can't smach, this is the minute. Some people don't like to learn new things on Shabbos because new things are harder, it takes more effort. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara about using things, about learning new things, that will take more focus and more concentration. They chaz what they learned all week long. Okay, so according to Rashi, you have two, and then the last week is devoted for Chazar. Very nice plan. That could work so nice. I know some people do this with the Daf Yomi. Then they do daf the 6 days. On the seventh day, I think they chazar the whole week of the gym. This is a sefer. I forgot where I got this from. This is a. It's supposed to be Rabbi Yonasan Malinil supposed to say this in Avodah Zarah. I couldn't find Rabbi Yonasan Malinil in Avodah Zarah, but I saw quoted the shame the Rimu Malinil in Avodah Zarah. This Rimu Malinil is by us in Kedushin. The same Gemara that we have in Kedushin appears in Avodah Zarah. You test some of the base, and there supposedly the Rimu Malinil says this shtickle about chazaring on Shabbos. Okay, so according to Rashi, you take the week. Now Rashi doesn't tell us how you split up the week. How do you split up the week? So you'd say, okay,
go in order. Sunday, Monday, you do Chumash.
So you can do the week any way you want.
Yeah.
So take a look in Taisus. Talk Taisus number 13. Pirish Bekutris. Meha Shabbos. Kloimar. Shnei Yom Mikra, Shnei Yom Mishnah, Shnei Yom Gemara. Rashi didn't say that. Rashi didn't say anything. Now, I'm not saying this can't be true. And this makes a lot of sense, actually, right? 2 days Chumash, 2 days,
again,
right?
What's the difference at the end of the week? Exactly, right. You've accomplished the same thing.
But there is a shtickle nafkamin. The Ravon says no. The Ravon says not 2-2-2, but he thinks you do 1-1-1.
And then repeat it.
Then repeat. Now, what do you gain by that? So, first of all, you gain by that. You may answer a little bit of the kasha of Taisa. Taisa has a kasha. But let me hear you. So, Taisa, I don't like this trap. Dim Kane, Akati, Avi, what's the middle of the week? In fact, Taisa says, no, you're going to go by the week. How do you know? Maybe you'll also die in the middle of the week. This cash, a lot of achrayim have a problem with this cash. You know, because this is a davar mu'at. A week is not such a long time.
Yeah, don't have an at need.
Right. But the truth is, if you think about it, guys, Tamazay, the cash is not shver. But think about it for a second. The cash is still not shver. Why? Because, first of all, if you're doing this every week, right, if you do this every week, that means last week you got it. A guy dies in the second week. But the first week, he went through everything. In the Gemara, it made sense to ask this kasha because in the Gemara, there was a whole chunk of Torah you never got to. Because I didn't start learning Gemara until the third last part of my life. And the guy died before that, I never got to. But this guy's doing this weekly. He's been doing this weekly for 15 years. So what are you going to tell me? He didn't get to the last week, but he's been doing this for the last 49 weeks, so he didn't get to the 50th week. Big deal. So according to the way Rashi structures the Taisus kasha is b'chol not a kasha. Because it's not like he's not going to get to that chiluk of Torah. He'll get to that chiluk of Torah. He got to it last week, the week before. Now, the Ravon says you do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara. So I was just thinking, according to Ravon, there's even less a chance of dying. Let's say the guy dies when? At least if he dies in the middle of the week, he got through at least the three. If you go like 2-2-2, so if he dies in the middle of the week, he only went 2/3 of the way. But if he goes like the Ravon, he got through three. Right, so that's always the kasha on Rashi. Like, on Taisus, where are we going to draw the limit? So Taisus doesn't like Rashi's trap. So he comes up with his own trap. Every day he split Kipshutai. Maybe that's what the Gemara means, right? So Taisus learns every day. We'll get to that. We'll see how you split the day. Taisus, you split the day into three.
Sounds like the Rashi Yom when we first thought.
Right. It could be what the Gemara means, Kipshuta, when it says Liyomi, Liyomi means daily. So every day you split it into three. Says Taisus, this is very important. Al Kain Tik on the Siddur of Amram Goyin. Therefore, they were Mesakin in the Siddur of Amram Goyin. I didn't know this, but Reb Amram Goyin Siddur was written and sent to Spain. To the early Jews living in Spain before the Rishonim moved there and became popular, they asked Reb Amram going to give them a siddur so they could know how to live a life. So Reb Amram sent them the siddur to Spain, and it says Reb Amram going siddur what? Like we do today. So Rabbi Amram Goyen is referring to what many people do today. We'll elaborate on this in a few minutes. And there's a practice that many people, every morning before they start davening, they say three different parts of davening that are supposed to fulfill this gemara. What are the three things? So the first thing is they say Parashas HaTomid. That's the Mikra section. They say Ezohu Mekoyma, and that is the Mishnah section. They say Rabbi Shmoloyma, that's the Gemara section. So you say that every single day, says Rabbi Amram Goyen, that's the fulfillment of this gemara. So now right off the bat, what's the obvious kasha? First of all, you're saying the same thing every single day. You're getting any more exposure in it? You know more now about the Mishnayos of Shas because you learned the same Mishnah over and over for 65 years.
And that's assuming you focused on it.
We'll see if the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham already pointed this out. We'll see the Magen Avraham is going to make this a Ara. The Magen Avraham says Mefurish. This only works if you know what you're saying. But even let's say, Nanich, you know what you're saying. I mean, where's the exposure? I could say I'm exposed to Torah, Mishnah, and Gemara because what? I say the same Mishnah every day. I say the same Pesach. Where's the exposure? The L'chayra, you see from Rabbi Amram Goyen, that he did not learn this is about exposure. It's not that I should be well-versed in all areas of Torah. You're not well-versed in anything. You know, one Mishnah, you know, one Braisa, and you know, a few Pesachim in the Vata Parashat Tamid. You're a glorified Amoritz. What does this guy know? No, really. What does he know? He knows a lot of Chazar. It's fantastic. The L'chayra, and this is really very important to the sugya. You see from Amram Goyen, it was not about getting Gedias HaTorah. It was for some reason, Hashem wanted that every day in your life, you touch a little bit of his different Chalkei HaTorah. Not because you're going to become a bigger Talmud Chacham. Hashem wanted that you should be, you know, have a Shaychus, a touch a little bit of all different parts of the Torah. I don't know why Hashem wants that, but that's what he wanted. It's clearly not a Gedias HaTorah idea, because you're not any bigger Gedias HaTorah than you were yesterday. Then Taisus comes up with a third shot. Rabbeinu Tam Pirish. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Sha'anu Sain Chemahod Amina B'Sanhedrin Bavel Belula B'Mikra B'Mishla B'Gemara. The Gemara is Bavel Bolu Mikulam. Rabbeinu Tam comes up with the Yeshiva guy's head. We'll call this the Yeshiva guy's head. Because the Yeshiva guys don't say Karbon, so they can't use a Ramam Goy. So I need to come up to Rabbeinu Tam's head. What's Rabbeinu Tam's head? No, don't worry. You learn a blot Gemara. Gemara has everything in it. Gemara has Mishnah and Brises and Psukim. So if you learn a blot Gemara, you know you're covered. It says Rabbeinu Tam, don't stress it. Every day you learn Gemara, you'll be good to go. As I talked to Rabbeinu Tam.
It just destroys the whole Gemara. So you lash them.
Yes, according to Rabbeinu Tam, as long as you're learning Gemara daily, you'll get the Dinah Mishnah lash them.
The Leomites, you know, the helps out.
Why? You think every day you learn Gemara?
No, but it's the one you need the whole Lima of Shilash.
Now that's because that was before they had the invention of the Gemara. I mean, before they had the structured Gemara, that everything is included. Now we have the Gemara did us a favor. You open up a blot Gemara. Now the problem is, for all those who know, first of all, for the yeshiva guys, they don't get through a blot a day. They get through like seven lines a day. So they have stamas, they have a problem. But the truth is, every blot
second
Gemara.
Or
I'm not saying we're yaitzeh with this limit.
Put a disclaimer on the shit.
You're not yaitzeh mishalash to my day coming to this shit. But the point is it so true? Every blot you get tzokim depends on the blot. You know, some mesech is more, some mesech is less. So I think I saw quoted from the Kafachayim, the Ben Eshchayim. They say you got to learn a lot of blot a day. The guy learns one blot a day, he taka might not get all three. You learn seven, eight blot a day, you probably get your fair share of chumash, your fair share of everything. Now, another shayla we have to talk about is there a din that it has to.
Gemara wasn't structured the way it is now.
Gemara
wasn't structured the way it is now in terms of blot.
The time of Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah, much later. That's why we shouldn't only quote Prakim, they don't quote Daphne.
No, I'm saying Rabbeinu Tam is saying.
One daf a day, but that's arbitrary.
Correct. Meaning you have to learn a lot. Meaning you have to see a lot in order to make sure you're covering enough ground. Now, another shaila we have to talk about, which might be totally in this machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Goyen, is do you have to divide everything equally? Shlish b'mikra means I have to take 9 hours and split 3, 3, 3. Now, clearly, according to Rabbeinu Goyen, you're not doing it perfectly. And now, even according to Taisus, it's not going to be perfect. No way, according to Taisus. A guy has a blot Gemara, he's spending equal amounts of time, especially if he's a yeshiva guy. He runs right through the Pesukim, looks up, you know, in the English translation for the Pesukim, then he goes back to the Gemara, right?
There's no way he's doing three, right?
So let's talk about this. So if you take a look over on the next page, a Ritvan Avodah Zarah. Then this exact same Gemara appears in Avodah Zarah. Now, there's a Ritvan Avodah Zarah. My computer has been misbehaving. If you notice, if anyone looks carefully at the sheet, they're done a little differently than they've done in the past. I call it throwback day because I had to go old school style and photocopy and cut and paste literally. But there was not it was a reminder to appreciate the things in life that we have, like computers and things like that. But I mentioned them, hopefully for next week, I'll be able to show you. It's a very, very important ritzvah and Avodah Zarah that I want to see. We'll see the beginning of it today. Mitzvah for next week, we'll see the whole ritzvah because it's a very, very important ritzvah. So ritzvah and Avodah Zarah, I said this. He quotes the same Gemara and the Gemara answers, Ki kamin and biyoimi. Same Gemara by us, biyoimi. Says the ritzvah, Yesh mefarshim yimei ashvua. Some people say it means the day of the week. So what did the Rav just do? He just took Tosfos kasha and went like this with his hand. Not a kasha. He doesn't say why. He just says, if it's the day of the week, don't ask me kashas. Who knows how long you're going to live? That's not a kasha. Once we broke it down to week, as opposed to year, says the Ritva, it's not a kasha. To Baha, this, lo yamina miyadei kamachai, there's no longer a kasha of how do you know how long you're going to live. So the Ritva is saying that if you go like Rashi, which is Rashi by us, Kedushin, then this Tosfos kasha is not a kasha. It's a week. People assume to survive a week. Then he says, v'yesh meforshim, sheyachloi kol yoyim v'yoyim l'shoi shachalom. Says the Ritva, but there's another opinion, which we know is like Tosfos, that you split every day into three parts. That's Tosfos Shita. Says the Ritva, according to all pshat, they don't have to be equal. You should learn from three of them. Whichever needs more time and more help. Meaning, if you need to focus more, chumash is pretty quick. You learn the pasuk once, you got it, you move on. Mishnah, a little harder, but easier than Gemara. And then Gemara will take more time. So according to the Ritva, it's not a question of equal time for each topic, it's covering each topic, however much time you'll need for each specific topic. Okay.
If you
gotta
do more
psukim,
and how do you know why is it
one person enough? Right, it won't be l'chayr. If you're going like it depends which try you're going. If you're going like Rashi, I mean each day. This day I'm devoting strictly for chumash. All day long I'm learning chumash. If you're going like Rabbeinu Tam, like Tosfos. Tosfos says you split the day. So you'd have to take the day and make time for everything. So you have to Right. He doesn't say how much time to do it. He will tell you that. Right. It's right. It wouldn't be time. It would be, a person can, let's say, it's unclear. Like most schools, the way they have periods is they usually have every day they learn the same. Like, let's say in yeshivas, what they do is they divide the day between a little chumash, a little mishnah. They do that every single day, which is really what Tosfos says to do. Right. Every yeshiva, they learn a little chumash, a little mishnah, a little gemara, and every day they divide it into three. That would be a kim according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, it's a little harder for the teachers because one day is just Chumash, one day is just Mishnah. It's a little harder for the teaching. But according to Tosfos, it doesn't say how much time you have to put in. You have to have a quota. It doesn't say what the quota is. And you have to work out what the quota is going to be. But now we come to the Rambam.
The Mishnah means years. It means is you're learning.
Uh-uh. And therefore, how's that better?
It doesn't do with time. It says your learning should be divided.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Okay, that's a third, but there's no time on it.
But it Rashi says,
more answers Leon. At the end of the Gemara. You're right. In the Havim of the Gemara, you're 100% right. No, you're right. In the Havim of the Gemara, you're right. But the Gemara says, Eloi Tzricha El Leon. The Gemara says, it's got to be daily. Or whatever. Days. Something with days. So let's take a look in the Rambam. This is a very famous Rambam. Everyone knows this Rambam. It says, the Rambam, we got to go through this Rambam carefully. The Chayiv L'Shalish Ezman L'Midosim. Says, the Rambam, you have to split three ways your time of learning. Shlish b'teirah shebiksav, one third goes for teirah shebiksav, u'shlish b'teirah shebal peh. One second. Well, so what do you see from the Rambam? First of all, the Rambam learns, he calls shlish b'mikra teirah shebiksav. Okay, that's the first third. The second third he calls teirah shebal peh. Now, teirah shebal peh is everything. That's Mishnah and Gemara. So if that's Mishnah, so what's the last category, says the Rambam? U'shlish yovin v'yasko achriz dova me'rishosin. You have to understand the things from the end to the beginning. The yoytzi dover midover, the yidme dover lidover. You have to be able to analyze and compare and look. The yovin, and you have to understand hamidas shatern nedreshes behem. Ashiyede eich hu ikar hamidas. The eich yoytzi ha'aser v'hamutter ki yoytzi behem midvarm shalom and mipi hashmur. The inyan zeh hu anikra gemara.
We're saying gemara means lomdas.
According to the Rambam, gemara means not just what does it say. You got to understand where it comes from. How did you get here? What do you do with this? How do you apply this? I would include in that lumdis and shalos and shuvis and psak halacha, everything. That's everything. That's the rest of the day. Everything that comes out of the Gemara, everything that comes out of the Mishnah is included. Yes. Right? That's right. So that's the chit. The Rambam says Talmud doesn't mean Gemara. Talmud means everything after that. It's learning. Yeah. We use Talmud to mean the Gemara, but he's arguing that Talmud means everything. No, Torah Shabbat Peh could.
Ron lists the fact that his third is working on Gemara all other.
It's people. Not just. The Ron just brought in the meaning. We learned, we thought that the Gemara is very simple. You have Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. Gemara is Bavli. It's simple. So, now, it's more than that, because according to the Rambam, that the Rambam L'chayr couldn't hold over Rabbeinu Tam. Because learning a piece of Gemara, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is good enough. According to the Rambam, that's not going to be good enough. You learn a stickle Gemara. The Rambam has this chiddush that he thinks Talmud is much more inclusive than we thought it was. That the Rambam holds much more information that you have to cover.
Tama, because he's trying to explain the Gemara.
Where's the end of? He says the Indian Zehu Hanikra Gemara. The Gemara never says the word Gemara. And the Gemara says, Tama. Right. He doesn't use the word Gemara. Because he's trying to be more inclusive according to the Rambam. Good. So let's say we understand what you're supposed to learn. Now this is the famous line. Ketzad says the Rambam, how do you do this? How you balum this? Let's say a guy has a job, he has a trade. And he works. So shalosh shoyis b'yom, he works. Ubetoyra teisha is the famous Rambam. The Rambam says you work 3 hours and you learn 9 hours. I know most yeshiva guys don't learn 9 hours a day and they learn a whole day. Okay, 9 hours a day is like the Rambam. You work 3 hours and you learn 9 hours.
Tuition then wasn't what is.
Unbelievable. This is the famous Rambam that everyone likes to talk about. The Rambam did not have 9 hours. He was a doctor. He barely had a chance. This is, the Rambam says, 9 hours a day you learn, 3 hours a day you work. You find me a job, and you can work 3 hours a day and learn 9 hours a day, and let me know, I'll be the first one there. The other 12 hours. Zakti Rambam, how does this work? So Zakti Rambam, so Kate said, how about umnes, he has a job, but he works, shalosh shoyis b'yom, u'b'tayr teisha. Oh, he said, not teisha. So those 9 hours, kayre b'sholosh mehem b'tayr shem k'sab. The first 3 hours, he learns tayr shem k'sab. Can you imagine learning chumash for 3 hours? And then you come to Chumash be in for 3 hours. That'd be fantastic. I was joking with the Chassidim by me and the Kaila. I asked him, how do you guys do Shavuos night? Shavuos night Chassidim, they don't learn Shavuos night. They say Tikkun.
Right.
So Tikkun is basically Pesukim of Chumash, Tanakh. I said, don't you get bored? Like, it's not nice to say. Like, isn't it like a slightly boring? He said, no, we're used to it. I said, what are you used to? They say Tehillim every Shabbat. They say the whole Sefer Tehillim, some Chassidim. So they're used to just reciting Pesukim. For us, let's be sure it doesn't have the same feeling. It gets a little dry. So can you imagine learning Chumash for 3 hours a day? Chumash say that 3 hours. So if you learn Chumash B'in with all the commentaries, okay, it's talking Yishma. Just learn Chumash. You finish, seems a little dry, but that's what the Rambam says you got to do. 3 hours a day, just Chumash. Yeah, if you learn Navi, it's a little more exciting, I guess. If Torah Shem Iksav includes Navi. Then you learn B'Sholosh B'Torah Shem Alpeh. Next 3 hours, doesn't say whether it's time for lunch break or Ben Astar, but okay. Says the Rambam for sleep. That's the other 12 hours. The 12 hours of awake time, according to Rambam. No lunch, no breakfast, no coffee break, nothing. Okay. Dr. Rambam, Ubiterish Balpeb. Ubishala Shacheres. What did you do the last 3 hours? Ms. Boine, no workout room apparently in this yeshiva. Okay. Ms. Boine, Bidaitis. Okay. You think. Lahavin, Dava, Midover. Bidivri Kabbalah, Michal Terish Bixavi. Dr. Rambam, you show Divri Kabbalah. That's also Terish Bixavi in Him to Hashem, Michal Terish Balpeb. Vain Yon, man, you can Pardes, Michal Gamorin. Pardes. Oh, fine. So, according to the Rambam, you got to have a very jam packed schedule. 3, 3, 3. What do you see from the Rambam? Very makbid, that it has to be 3 equal hours. 3 this, 3 this, 3 this. Now, we saw from the Ritva, you don't need that. No one's spending 3 hours on learning Chumash and 3 hours on learning Gemara. You'll probably spend a half an hour, 45 minutes on Chumash, and then another extra half hour, 45 minutes on the Gemara. But the Rambam seems to structure it very particular. 3 hours this, and 3 hours this, and 3 hours this.
What's
the Divrei Kabbalah? What? What's the Divrei Kabbalah? No. That's Pardis. That's the latest stuff.
That's what more. Is Pardis?
That's more, that's the other ways of learning things. Drush and other things. Pardis is more... No, not yet. In the next piece he talks about it. But according to Rama, but the Shaila is why? Why such a particular Dafka 3 hours? Why can't it be 2.5, 1 and you know mix it up with the other one? Why? Yeah, it's very clear. He learned Vishilashtam Kimshutta. Now there's where the Rambam drops another chiddush on us. Says the Rambam, when is this true? Meaning, basically, no one does this. Not the fact that no one learns 9 hours a day, but no one splits their learning. So yekish over here, 3 hour clock, and you know, timer goes off, and we switch, and we go to a new limit. No one does it. Why not? Says the Rambam, b'tchilas tamud shalavim. This whole din of the Gemara is only when you're first starting to learn. Right, early education. But if you already are a seasoned Talmud Chacham, you don't need to spend so much time learning Chumash. You know Pesukim in the Chumash. You know Mishnayos and you know Gemara. Then Yikra Be'itim, very interesting lashon. Yikra Be'itim Mizumanim Torah Shebiksav. You should read Torah Shebiksav on occasion. Meaning, don't forget it, don't skip it, but read it on occasion. Make an occasional dabble in Torah Shebiksav. Be'itim Mizumanim. So you don't forget. Keep yourself somewhat familiar with the Chumash. Spend your whole day, this is everyone knows, spend your whole day learning Gemara. If V'reichev sheyesh b'liboy v'yashen daitim. Much as your heart. Yeah, that's what he writes. That's what he writes. And that's why he got into a lot of trouble for it, right? For saying that. But this Rambam is married. The Rambam has a gevaldik chiddush. Dr. Rambam, you only have to do this trick of 333 when you're just starting out. You got to get familiar with the beginning, then you do this. But after you see something.
Little kids in 9 hours a day.
And
also, and how about the working?
No, he doesn't. Lot after little kids, meaning you're first getting used to learning. Guys could be 25, he's first getting used to it. Then he masters it, right? Now he's a Talmud Chacham. Oh, we'll come back to that. It's a very good question. Oh, because we have a problem. State in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, when do you start learning Gemara? When you're 15. Right? We first start when you're 15. So how do you make this split? So some people say, Enchan, the split starts only after 15. Till 15, you don't have to learn Gemara. In yeshivas, we're makdim to learn Gemara. But strictly speaking, the Mishnah says in Avos 15. So when does the split start? It starts only at 15. So you start the clock at 15 to dividing up the day. So this Rambam is a Mori Degi Chiddush. The Rambam has a whole pshat in the Gemara that the Gemara only means for that person who is already a seasoned Talmud Chacham. So what's the kash in the Rambam? Where did he get this from? You read the Gemara, you don't get that feeling. The Gemara says, "Le'olam yishalish adam shnoisim." Always means always and always, all the time. Comes along the Rambam, it's not always. It's only when you're first getting started. Once you already become a seasoned Talmud Chacham, then you drop it and you learn Gemara all day long. Where did the Rambam get it from? Fine, yeah. But again, I don't disagree. But the Rambam had to have somewhere to start where he came up with this. What was the impetus for this chiddush? So if you take a look in the Lechem Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah has on two chiddushim over that we photocopied. He says like this, number 16. Right? He quotes our Gemara. He said that the Rambam learned like Rabbeinu Tam. He's saying that the Rambam didn't want to go like Rashi. Rashi said split the week into two. Says the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam wasn't hearing that. He learned Liyoyim means daily. Not like Rabbeinu Tam, not like Tosfos who said like Rambam going. But obviously the Rambam is not the same as the Rambam going, but the Rambam is the same in that regard that they both hold you have to attack each day. So therefore, Dr. Rambam, that's why he gives you a very clear schedule for daily, because the Rambam held a pashup shan in the pasuk. Liyomi means daily. Fine. That's chiddush number one. That's machlokes Rishayim. But the second Lechem Mishnah is more gishma. Says the Lechem Mishnah, Zehu, ze kasva beinu losi smach, she'inonu noigim ela betambod. Says the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam was coming with a kasha. No one seems to keep a gemara. The Gemara says, Yishalish, you have to split your day. Said the Rambam, look around, no one's doing it. Everyone's learning Gemara all day long. Says the Rambam, oh, says the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam was coming to give us a smach, she'en on noigim, ela betambud. Leza omer, misvara denafshe. Says the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam made this up on his own. Says the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam made this up because he had a kash on society. Society was not following what it seems to say in the Gemara. So the Rambam had to be Malamet Chos and Klai Yisrael. So his Limud Chos and Klai Yisrael was, yeah, you only have to do that when you're first starting out. Meaning the Rambam had no Raya in the Gemara. The Rambam had no Raya in Shas. But the Rambam had a Kasha on society. Society was not following the Gemara. So in order to be Malamet Chos and Klai Yisrael, the Rambam came up with this Chiddush. The problem is, I'll ask right there, even people that are Tchilas Lamud, they don't do this, right? The Kasha is still spread today. Today we still have people that are still holding the Tchilas. That's right. It used to be that people had a much bigger Yediyas HaTorah before they got started. Today, it's not the case. But that's the Lechem Mishnah's travel, which means the Lechem Mishnah is saying it wasn't like the Rambam had a Gemara somewhere that he taught it to him. He based it just on the fact that the society didn't seem to accept. Comes along the Pnei Yeshua and Bam Metzia.
For me, the Rabbi Tam taught the Talmud, that Talmud includes everything. But maybe the Rambam's, he calls Gemara, it doesn't include
exactly.
Pesukim and everything.
The Rambam's common.
You do a hate don't talk dovers. You also analyze him psukim. You analyze
him in the Gemara.
That's what he. The Rambam gives a very wide range of what Gemara is.
Correct.
So that could be the that also could be the shlish. Is that you're getting everything?
So therefore, he's like Rabbeinu Tam. Or saying,
I mean,
Lech Mishnah doesn't sound like that. Right. You seem to simple pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam is very structured. Rambam gives you to the minutes, right? 3 hours this, and 3 hours. Exactly, right. So comes.
What's the wise about this? Somebody looked into Gemara's. I mean, there are like 15 blot or 20 blot, certain Gemara's that have no chumash.
No, I'm stuck in them.
It's a big shiloh.
Right, right. So then I think I saw this one either.
A lot of the
Mesechtas they learn in Yeshiva, a lot of the Yeshivish Mesechtas, you're not going to come across too many Pesukim on a daily block. Yeah, obviously you're learning, you know, cite that a lot of psukim in the Magadita. So I saw one of the places.
Even Bavitzi Bavakami refer a lot to Shmos, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but not every, you know.
You got Shoris, you've
got as much. Right. But again, there are definitely blot that you're not, again, so that's what they say. If you learn only one blot a day, you're taka heaven. Right, but at least you'll get a pasuk, which if that's good enough.
One pasuk.
If you get again, but do you have to get a pasuk from all of? Do you have to get a pasuk from each, or as long as you get one from anywhere? Do I have to get a pasuk from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim? That's very hard. I'll get from one. I'll probably come to a blot and Gemara, you'll get at least one. I don't know. It's very unclear. So the Pnei Yeshua, this Pnei Yeshua is in Bam Metzia. It's like a very geshmak of Pnei Yeshua. The Gemara over there in Bam Metzia basically says that a person should spend his whole day learning Gemara. Gemara. So frek the Pnei Yeshua. How does it work with our Gemara? Our Gemara says it's a split. Split means not all in one. It means you're supposed to divide your time. So Gemara says, it's actually interesting. Gemara says, the person learns a little bit Mishnah, it's good. The person spends his whole day learning Mishnah, it's okay. It's not great. The person learns his whole day learning Gemara, that's the best. So in fact, the Pnei Yeshua of a kosher, the Amina Perikam of the Gedushin, the Mishal, the Shadim, Shnoisav, Sheshbe Mekar, Sheshbe Mishnah, Sheshbe Tam. Well, if he has Maskana, the Hocha, based on our Gemara of him, Bamitzia, Masik, Shiroiv, Limar, Adam, he Yibet Talmud. And most of the Torah should be, most of your learning should be with Talmud. So what's the obvious teretz? The test to this cash would be is the Rambam. Right? The Rambam told us that Avadi should spend the most of the day learning Gemara. That's when you become a seasoned Talmud Chacham. Oh, that's if you learn like the Lecha Mishnah. But if you don't learn like the Lecha Mishnah, you learn Faket. The Rambam saw this Gemara as Amik. The Rambam had another Gemara. The Rambam had a Gemara in Bam Metzia. The Gemara in Bam Metzia says, spend your whole day learning Gemara. So the Rambam said to himself, 1 second. Gemara in Kedushin says split. Gemara Bama Tzia says Gemara all day long. How do I make this work? Says Rambam, it must be one Gemara is talking about for beginners, and one Gemara is talking about for seasoned Talmidei Chachamim. And that's how the Rambam got. Not like the Lecha Mishnah, who says it was by default because of the practices of society. No. The Rambam saw a Gemara. He saw a Gemara Bama Tzia. So says the Pnei Yeshua, the Reisi Shemar Shor B'Chidusha HaGod is Hevi Mashkos V'Rambam. The whole Oilam Yashu Shalom B'Chidus Amudei Shalom Amam Mekan B'Lech Yasu B'Chayir Yasu Kiyah B'Talmud. That Rambam. He says, but Avol Hi Gufa Tiksho. So says the Pnei Yeshua, maybe you can use the Rambam. That the Rambam will be very gishmak. The Rambam that says you learn Gemara all day long was before you get started. It's after your season Talmud Chacham. That's the Gemara in Bam Metzia. The Gemara in Kedushin is before your season Talmud Chacham. That's how the Rambam knew it. Very, very good. Just getting started out. I don't know. I'm just starting to learn.
But does that mean you're in yeshiva?
Not clear. The Rambam is very vague. The Rambam just says what he calls betchilas tamud. I think we're all still betchilas tamud. We're all still, starting to learn. But then the Bnei Yeshua gets more exciting, right? So we have Yeshu Yashiv. Miu ahi gadoch glav Yeshu Yashiv. The Mishumachi Masik Tamuda. The May Rebbe Nishtes Mishnah Zu. During the times of Rebbe, this Mishnah was learned. Time comes because of Rashi. The Eidim Midah. The Hanim Mishum Oz Loyah Mishnayis with Tamud Shkum Mepi. Says the Pnei Yeshua, there's a historical element over here. Says the Pnei Yeshua, when does the Gemara by Osa you have to split everything into three? That's before things were written down. So before things were written down, if you don't chazer, you're going to forget. That's why you have to spend more time on those things, because the Torah Shavuksav was already written. Mishnah was not written. So Torah Shavuksav can always refer back to Mishnah that's memorized. It's much riskier. You're going to forget. He wants to tell you that's why today we can take a divide everything up, because we're not so worried that you're going to forget. In the times of the Gemara Bar Metzia that said all the emphasis on Gemara was because we were afraid you're going to forget it. If you don't memorize it, you're going to forget it. It wasn't put into writing. But today's up to Pnei Yeshua. Today where we write things down. So then you take the Mishnahs were not written down as much. It was all orally. Right. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Now, Rebbe wrote down the Mishnayas. You don't have the Gemaras yet. He still have all the memory Chazal that were still oral. So if it says the Pnei Yeshua, that's when you got to spend all your time on Gemara, because if not, you're going to forget. But now that we have Gemaras, you have Svarim. So no, you look up at the Sefer, no problem. That's the second Teretz. And that's why today we should go back to splitting them up into three. That's his Teretz. Here we are. We'll come back to that in a minute. Oh, fine. So we have the Pnei Yeshua's Teretz. Now take a look in the Mechaber number 18. Shulchan Aruch Yerodeah Semeresh Mem Vav. Let's read that. This is Mechab in Yerodeah. Chayiv Adam Nishalosh Limudah Shlish B'Teir Shebiksav. Dehainu Harbo V'Esru. 24 books. Shlish B'Mishnah. Dehainu Teir Shebapeh. U'B'Teir Shebiksav. U'B'Pirish Teir Shebiksav. B'Chal Zeh. Shlish betamul dehainu sheyavin bi haskel achriz davar meri shisoi mi yatzav rabbi tovi v'tachmidim. It sounds very familiar, right? It's the Rambam. I don't want anyone to think I'm pulling any tricks over here. This is exactly the words of the Rambam. And he says the whole Rambam, and he goes through the whole spiel, and he ends off with the same chiddush. Now, he doesn't say as strict as the Rambam about dividing into 3 hours. He just says, he doesn't go through the whole day of 9 and 3. He just says that you have to... He does that at the end. He quotes the exact same words of the Rambam. Now, look at the last line. So he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam was not hearing Rabbeinu Tam. But the Mechaber brings the Rambam, and he also brings Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Take a look at the Vilna Goyim number 19. It says the Vilna Goyim, Bamed Vilna Murim, Mimashikasa, Besoyf Perik Beis, the Bamatsiya, Oisib Mikra. Says the Vilna Goyim, where did the Rambam get this Chiddush from? That you only have to do this when you're starting to learn? He got it from the second Perik of Bamatsiya. What's the second Perik of Bamatsiya? The Pnei was Kasha. So the Vilna Goyim learned not like the Lecha Mishnah. The Vilna Goyim learned the Mekar of the Rambam was not because society. It was because of the Gemara Bar Mitzvah. The Gemara Bar Mitzvah said you're supposed to spend all day learning Gemara. Fractive on the Gain, how does that work with our Gemara? The answer is like the Rambam says. Meaning the Mekar of the Rambam was the Kasha of the Pnei Shul. Not like the Lecha Mishnah, who learned Mekar of the Rambam was just from looking around society. Fine. Now here's where I have a problem. My problem is the following. Shulchan Aruch seems to pass him like the Rambam. Correct? So if you follow the Rambam, if you want to be Mekayim the Din of Yishalish, what do you have to do? You have to spend 9 hours a day learning Torah. Fantastic. Comes along the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, number 20. Says the Mechaber, Kavo'u lishno is achar parashas atomid, ezo mekoimon, ubraise de Rebbe Shmuel, de sheyiske kol odom lulumdoi b'chol yoy mikro, mishna u gemara, de braise de Rebbe Shmuel havi makim gemara, shahamedrish ki gemara. Says the Mechaber, if you want to get unzere gemara, you want to be Mekayim the din of Shvishil Ashtem, you should say every morning, parashas atomid, ezo mekoimon, Rebbe Shmuel. What's the problem? Isn't this a stira? The Mechaber passing like the Rambam.
You have the 9 hours. He's saying you don't need, it's the
Seder
9 hours.
But when you're a day, Mechaber passing like the Rambam.
You don't have it.
But then you're going from 9 hours to 5 minutes.
So you're saying that the Rambam.
yeah.
No, maybe there's two dinim. One is like, the Ravan going. There's a mitzvah and expose yourself to all three types right. Every day. Regardless, it's the same thing over and over. And then there's another mitzvah. The Rambam is someone who wants to gain Yedias and Torah.
So,
and Talmud Torah.
So you're taking my colleagues to Rishonim and saying that they all agree to each other.
But they don't have that.
So 1 second. So let's go back a couple of steps. I think you're right. So this is what we need to develop. Is there a fundamental machloekes Rishonim between what we call the Rambam and the Rambam Bain over here? And according to the Rambam, that's a joke, what Rambam going suggests. That's where I learned the Rambam, right? According to the Rambam, he knew what Rambam going says, and he also, that's, what does that do?
Well, that's the idea. Like, you can Yotze Talmud Torah just saying Shema twice.
Okay.
It's ideal, and then there's
maybe. We'll get to that. So one way of learning is, the way I would start off the sugya, I said to myself, the Rambam sounds like he doesn't buy from Rambam. Rambam going is a kappa. Rambam going is, it doesn't work. He said, that's not the way.
Unless you want to say the chiluk is maybe whether the chiyuv is in limud Torah or in yediyas Torah.
Good. All true, guys. But the problem is you got to pick which Rishon and be consistent. The Mechaber picked the Rambam in Yerodea. So if you work with the Rambam, the assumption according to the Rambam is what? Is that the right way to be Mekayim Vishilashtam is the old hard way, which means 3, 3, 3.
But it's not picking different Rishonim.
Isn't it?
It's different.
Isn't that thing?
What is the
how do you know that those Rishonim hold to that other idea? When you read the Rambam, we read the Rambam inside another Rambam, it sounds like he holds that this is the way to do it. Unless
the Rambam would hold, let's say you had 12 minutes, right? So you go 4, 4, and 4, right? It's not the 9 hours, it's the Shalish.
Right, but again, would the Rambam say that's okay to do to be, would the Rambam agree to Rambam going to the option?
Yeah, if that's all you had time for.
Yeah, so the Mechaber should have wrote over here that a guy who, you know, it's very vague. This sounds like every Jew.
The Rambam says right? So much like he's talking about hard days.
That's the Teretz.
He's talking about hard days and Miglev and this story. But it sounds like.
Yeah, I agree.
For everything.
Yeah, but the Rambam sounds like this is the way. Again, Kate said, how are you about umnas? How many people are about the umnas? Both the society, right? Dr. Rambam, Kate said, about umnas. He gives it.
Yeah, and nobody works 3 hours either.
Okay, but the Rambam's layout. Right. Right. But the Rambam sounds like this is the Seder Hayyim.
Don't want to say that you don't say the
Okay, good. So I think there's a couple of ways out. Even if, again, I hear what the Olam is saying. I never thought like this, to be honest. When I was learning this, I didn't think that you want to double dip and say that the Rambam really agrees to Rambam going in. You could say that. The Pashtus is, it sounds not like, but I think when you could say one or two terms like this, either this Aruch Chaim, number 20 in Aruch Chaim, is talking about a guy who's already no longer Tchilas Lamudai. In Yaradeya, we're talking about a guy who's Tchilas Lamudai, just starting out. Then the Rambam says, Tchilas Lamudai, you got to do 3, 3, 3. But the Rambam himself told us not every Jew has to do that. So one second. That's still Shver. Why? Because the Rambam said, after you finish that, you can do whatever you want. So that's why if you look in Aruch Chaim, the Lashon is interesting. He says, Kedeshi Yiske Kolodim. What do you mean, Kedeshi Yiske? Chayiv Odom. What do you mean, Yiske? Yiske sounds like you want to get extra schusim, do this. What do you mean, Lashon? This is a Chayiv. If I'm not, Mekayim Vishilashtim. The Rambam says, no, I don't really need Vishilashtim because I'm already beyond that. I'm going to give Gemara all day long. Oh, but if you want this Kishmak Azach about touching a little bit of everything, Zok Mechaba, do that. So I think that's one way to answer up the steer.
Does anyone ask the steer in the Rambam? Based on this Rambam, it seems like you should sleep for 12 hours. We get the Rambam in another place, says you should sleep 8 hours.
I guess you just don't need time for eating and family. Right, there's other stuff you have to spend time with.
Oh, so no, the 12 is not just sleep.
I'm guessing you have to spend time doing other things. Or work.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone
wants. You don't have time to eat.
So if you take a look over here in the Mishnah Berurah, I think that might be a yishuv between the two. If not, to me, it's a shtickle steer. Unless you stam as they learn that the Aruch Chaim is b'chorah not getting involved. Unless in Aruch Chaim is a new chiddush. Avada shlish b'mikra is like the Rambam said. But the Darnachadin, if you want to be able to say that you touched a little bit of everything, like a Rambam going, then you do this. And that's also in Kedesh Yiske.
I mean, even if you're a major Talmud.
Right, right.
So you don't want to ignore
Chodesh. Right, like we saw in the Rambam, Kedesh Yiske, yep, so shaykh has to all of them. Now, if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, again, it really quotes the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham writes on the page that this only works if you actually know what the words mean. So all those people who say Karbanis and Ezer Mekayim and Rebbe Shema, it's beautiful. But if you don't know what you just said, you get zero credit. Why? Because this is not a Shail of Davening. This is a Shail of Liman HaTorah. Liman HaTorah, you have to know what you're saying. Now, B'linadah, next week, I'll show the Ridvan of Edizar, beautiful Ridvan of Edizar, where he points out the kasha that everyone knows, why did we pick Ezer Mekayim and Rebbe Shema? We'll come back to that, B'linadah. But let's take a look. Huh? That's right. We'll come back to it. But he has another Kanish that the end of the Ridva, not so many people know. I wanted to show you inside, so I don't want to ruin it. But take a look at number 22, the Shach. Now, as the Shach rips on the Balabat. It says the Shach, he quotes from the Drisha, right? It's great. It's not his fault. The Drisha says it. Because of a Drisha, Yesh Balabatim, Noigim Lumoy Bechoyim Gemara Pirish Taisvis. There are some Balabatim who just learned Gemara, but Loisha Poiskim, they don't learn Psach. Gemara. Daf. They learn the Daf, right? Gemara Rashi Taisvis. They don't learn Rush and Riff and Rambam. They just learn Gemara Rashi Taisvis. Halavai. I'm not knocking Chasam Shom. I think it's fantastic, right? So says the Shach, quoting from the pre-show, Umevim Raya. And they justify their behavior. Why? They said themselves, it says anyone who learns halach every day, they hold it. I'm learning. I'm learning 3-4 blah a day. Avalin Nira says the Shach, says the Drisha, you gotta learn psa. This is a push for our Tuesday night share, everyone. Subtle push, okay? You gotta learn halach also. It's not just enough to learn. But we learn at least we learn Piskei Halacha. We don't come out with a psak, but at least we learn the areas of Halacha. Says the Shach, you got to learn Piskei Halacha. Kemoy, that's interesting. Who he quotes? Who does he consider Piskei Halacha? The Rif, the Mordechai, and the Rosh. Who did he leave out?
The Rambam.
He left out the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch. Right, which is the Shulchan Aruch.
Possibly like Mordechai.
Mordechai is big. The Rambam quotes Mordechai all the time. A lot of the Ramah comes from Mordechai. Right? The Mechaber doesn't calculate the Mordechai, but that's Ashkenazim. We calculate a lot of Mordechais. So he writes, the Harash v'deimayim, the Zehu Shayresh v'ikol l'tayrasenu, v'einam yoitzim klal, the limod gemara pirish taisus. The whole the Tana de Belio, Karkos of Rashi, Shom, Hashoin halachas pirish halachas psukos. Psak halacha, not stam halachas. Okay. So he writes over here, I, Umashikas of Rabbeinu Tam, Kan Shas Bavli Bol. I, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam sounds like if you learn Shas, you're good to go. Says, yeah, Koya Mashikas of the Fnezer, Ali Matesh is beyond. That's going on the din of learning 9 hours a day. The Kivin Sheshla Panay Godol, Yemad Bishas. The guy's a lot of time, he talks to learn Shas. Avalahanach Balabatim, Shainam Loim Nimra, Gimel Adal Choice.
Gimel Adal Choice.
And the Shas, we're talking about the Shach lived in the 1600s. They're only learning 3 or 4 hours.
Is he talking about Shas Mamelus in the winter, maybe?
Yilmadu b'shas, lo yilmadu b'shas l'chad. Zok, the Shach, don't just learn Gemara. Gotta find time for Halacha. Now, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's even better. Not just do you have to learn Halacha, you have to learn Halacha negate to you. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, Ach Adam Kazem Machash and Yokoloma Divitar Habimoid, Sirch Shia call Limude Belimer Hamavli de Mais. You gotta learn halacha that's practical. Shane Halochas at Srichas the Holodom Leda is on the kind of mystical chosen. You need to know how to be Jewish. Velizom the Khosh Bisurum Khazram, and now what not to do. The Haim Dvarm Shi Absolish Tom of the Khakam. Those are things you can't always ask a Shaila. How Moira should be either rub in the city. Today we have phones a little easier. You don't know what to ask. Will they stop it? And he gives you examples. The Hainu. Roiv Arachayim. You got to learn most of Arachayim. Kemat Kulo. Umiyat Yeredeya. Interesting. Not so much Yeredeya. Again, I think it depends on what your job is. The guy works in loans. He should learn Ribbis very thoroughly. That's the whole idea. You got to learn how to do loans. Umiyat Yeredeya. Umiyat Be'Ebenezer. Ebenezer, I think, is pretty okay. Most of Ebenezer is really not for the average Joe. Anyone who's in the business world, you got to learn Chayshim Mishpat. He says you got to learn how to be a Jew, and then he says Me'atam would be parshav k'me'a rosh. I be says of the pachas, but lachzer aleim li'olam. The guy misha daiti yofish yuchalum by the list could call teshuva peh. If a guy has a good memory, yeshalum by the lachzer tchila halachas al lola tzriches lemaisa. Ki yeshalim din kedima al shar kol halachas. That takes precedent on all other halachas that are not halachas lemaisa. Guy wants to learn hilchos shchita, he wants to learn hilchos malicha. Fantastic. First, learn Hilchas Arachayim and the things you need to know. The Limar Hagadah maybe Gamke in the Dehemais. He says learning Agadah is also good. Why? Because it brings you to this Bainan Mitoichon Musar Haskel. It brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch. Umishle Gil Midizu Yema B'Sifrei Musar, and then you got to learn Musar Oth. So, talk to Shochan Acharav. Not only do you have to learn Halacha L'Maisa, you got to learn real Halacha L'Maisa. What's negated to you?
You're like. Rabbi actually does.
I doubt it. I don't know.
Only halacha.
I don't know what they do. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if they have enough time for anything. But the Mishnah Berurah brings the halacha guy. Take a look at Mishnah Berurah, number 24. Chayiv Adam Lomay B'chol Yoyim Teirah Shebiksav Shehu Tanach U Mishnah U Gemara U Poiskim U Balabatim Sheinam Loim Dimrak Gimel Leidal Shoyis B'Yoyim Loyimudu B'Gemara Luchud Debezei Eni Yitzel Tzorach Shem Medafki Gam Sifrei Poiskim Kol Echad Kefi Hasagos. So this is not a knock on Dafyem Michas B'Shalom, but this is a push. Again, this is a knock on Yeshiva Bochum. Yeshiva don't learn enough halacha. They come out, they have a Mishnah Berurah seder for 10 minutes. I've been in yeshiva, I know what that seder looks like. It either equals a guy sleeping on the table, or a guy goes back to his room to sleep. Or maybe breakfast. But the seder doesn't take too much chashivas. But Mishnah Berurah, Pasuk is not that. You got to find time to be kaveh zman to learn piskei halacha. But then the next week, we'll see maybe a way out of that. Those who don't want to learn halacha, who just want to learn lumbus all day, will find the justification for that also. And then we'll see a little bit more about the sugya.
We have to justify ourselves.
Mr. Shem will go right there, the next week.
By the way, this was last
week. Thank you, Rabbi.
Correct.
Thank you.